Air Venture. Fast Eddie here in the studio with air show announcer, mentor, and fellow compadre, Larry Rutt. Good morning, Larry.
Good morning, Fast Eddie. Good to see you again, as always.
It's always good to see you, Larry. I appreciate everything you've done to help me out. Larry, we've got a serious subject today.
Uh-oh.
You are a pilot of extraordinary means, tons of hours in the air, and I found out that you were flying Lockheed Constellations.
That's true. That's true. The Pennsylvania Air National Guard at Harrisburg was flying C-121Cs, passenger model aircraft, and they, for some reason, decided to send me to Air Force pilot training back in, I'm good you're sitting down here, 1964. 64, do the math, that's old.
That's
anyway, they sent me
ago.
To pilot training, so I went off and I flew the T-37 and the T-38, and I came back as a supersonic, super hot jet pilot, and they put me in a C-121C Constellation. And that's a magical airplane with four R-3350s that make pure music when they start. And we flew the airplane all over the world, literally, and kept running into Pan American pilots who looked a lot healthier than I did, and one of them said, why don't you go join Pan Am? They're hiring. This was in 1966. And by golly, because of that Constellation, I got hired. There's a story to that.
Oh, I can imagine. Have you ever met a pilot that didn't have a story?
About something one way or the other.
Larry, what did you really like about the C-121?
Well, there's so many things. And it's of the large airplanes that I've flown, it really is my favorite. Even the 747-400, this is my favorite. There's so many things about it. Just the story of the airplane, the history of the airplane, the beauty of the airplane, one of the sexiest looking propeller-driven airplanes ever made, and the capability. Abilities of that airplane. We got into situations with that, and this is just a straight C-121C, nothing really super fancy about it, when we were flying it as a passenger airplane. And some of the things you could do, cutting the props way, way back, extend the range, the flight engineer on that airplane, we carried two of them. Those were the important people. The pilots were just people who took off and landed, but the flight engineers maintained those engines and maintained the systems on that. And they gave us extra range when we didn't think we were going to have any. Because of that flight engineer station, they actually had an oscilloscope there, a way of looking at the firing of each cylinder to see the patterns of it, to see how it was firing, see what was not working right. They could adjust the mixtures and look at that and make sure that they got everything exactly the way it had to be. It's a great flight engineer's airplane. So those aspects of it, there was so much to learn about the airplane that was so different than flying jets. I remember one of the things we had to do when we checked out on the airplane as a pilot was you had to sit at the flight engineer's panel and actually start the engines. Pilots. Not flight engineers.
Oh, boy.
Eddie, let me tell you, it was like a duck hunt going on. Boom, bang, there was noises all over the place. And they wouldn't let you hurt the engines, but it was an experience, a learning experience. When to bring the mixtures in, when to play with them, when the mags go on. So it was a lot of fun.
I imagine there were times when those 3350s humbled you.
Oh, absolutely, every single time. But I got to tell you one story about, of course, one of the things about the Connie and the 3350s is we had 50-gallon oil tanks for each engine and a 54-gallon reserve where we could take oil out of that and fill up the individual engine reservoirs. But we had a Connie on a tour one time, and a guy was walking around the ramp, and he walked underneath the number two engine, and there's oil dripping off of the nacelle, and there's a big pile of black oil laying on the ramp. And he looks at the oil, he looks up at the nacelle, and he looks over at one of our guys standing there, and he says, where'd this come from? Where'd the oil come from? I mean, pretty obvious, isn't it?
Yeah.
Anyway, where'd this come from? So our guy goes over there, and he looks at the engine, he looks at the ground, and he reaches his finger down, and he wipes some of the oil, and he holds it up to his nose, and he says, Saudi Arabia.
Oh, geez.
True story. Yeah, so they did use a lot of oil. Remember flying into dropping into a fighter base one time, and we requested a fuel truck and an oil truck. Well, by that time in the 70s, they didn't have oil trucks. They had trucks that carried cases of quarts of oil.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah. It was a long day for that young airman who was opening quart by quart and pouring it into the reservoir.
50 gallons of quarts?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
my.
Yeah. Times four engines.
He was there all day, all right.
Well, we didn't actually need to do everything in there, but there was quite a few. So just so many stories that come to mind when you talk about the Constellation.
Well, you know, the thing is with the 3350s, there have been reliability problems with the early models of the 3350s. In your flying career with the C-121 Constellation, do you ever have to shut an engine down?
Yeah, a couple times. I've shut down a total of four in the about 12,000 hours I had, about the 3,200 hours I had flying it over 13 years. And there were problems mostly with the ignitions. You'd be looking at it and you couldn't really tell when you were going to finally lose it. If you had there's two ignition systems on each cylinder. And if you had one begin to fail, you'd see that on that scope that the engineer had. And then it was a precautionary shutdown. Because if the other one failed, then that's a dead cylinder and it's a possibility of blowing that cylinder. You didn't want to do that. So those would happen fairly often, and we'd make the decision whether to keep it running for a while, keep looking at it, and see what we had to do. But other times, there were just plain failures. And we had to shut the engine down, and it flies just fine on three engines. I got stuck out over water one time and had to fly at about 700 miles to get to land to go. But we shut it down, flew three engines on in, made the landing. Worked out very well. But we had much more reliability with the Air National Guard than the airlines had. They ran them harder. In the latter years of keeping the airplane, we rarely used the high stage of the superchargers to climb on up to 20,000, above 20,000 feet or above 16,000 feet. We'd keep it in low blower all the time. And toward the end, we didn't even use full power for takeoff. We would take off at less than that, or called METO power, M-E-T-O, maximum accept takeoff. And so we babied the engines. And we had a couple of pre-flight techniques that we would use that staved off engine failures. The Connies, the 3350 in the Connie was a turbo compound engine. It had a turbocharger, like a turbo. It was a turbine, and the exhaust gases would go through the turbine. And then that power was fed back to the crankshaft through a fluid coupling, an automatic transmission, if you will, through a fluid coupling back to the crankshaft. And you could get anywhere from 300, 400, 500 more horsepower per engine because of those turbo compound turbines. And so we had those, and those were subject to a lot of failure. But our flight engineers developed a method on pre-flight where they'd actually reach into the stack, the exhaust stack, and spin that turbine with their hands. If they felt any vibrations or any irregularities at all, that was a replacement that would come off because we knew it was going to fail in flight, and that would be an engine shutdown.
Oh, that wouldn't be good at all. There's a piece of film footage courtesy of Arthur Godfrey mm-hmm. and Eddie Rickenbacker. You've seen it then.
The Eastern Airlines one, yeah.
Yeah, flying a Connie on one engine and an outboard at that.
It would do that. It had a hydraulically boosted flight control system, and the rudders included. And, of course, there's three small rudders back there, but there were three. So even on one engine with all that asymmetric thrust, you could maintain control of the airplane as long as you kept the speed up and as long as you were very, very light in weight. But even down on two engines, when we would practice these, below 1,000 feet, you wouldn't be thinking about a go-around. So you really had to have everything wired because at 500 feet, you were committed to landing. You could not go around, execute a go-around at full power on two engines because you just didn't have enough power and enough rudder authority to overcome the asymmetric thrust.
Well, I bet that could have been a hairy moment.
Could have been. I'm glad to say that it never happened to me.
The Connie was a very interesting aircraft. The shape of the fuselage.
Dolphin shape, yeah.
Very pretty. But the one problem that I've heard about that shape is the fact that the cockpit is very tight.
It was tight. The other pilot was just about a foot away from you. There was a narrow console in between. And the flight engineer had his whole panel and suite behind the co-pilot's seat. It was narrow. But very comfortable, and I had no problems to flying that airplane from the comfort standpoint. It was one of the first fully pressurized airliners, and so that was good.
So you had life good up there then?
Oh, I've never had life bad.
I was going to say, the hydraulically boosted controls, was there good harmony on the controls?
There was. It was very well balanced. And in fact, one of the emergency procedures that we used to do involved disabling the boost system for the flight controls. So then it was like driving a car with the power steering pump failed, and you're steering that car pushing the wheels around. And I'm sure you have experienced that. You know what I'm mentioning.
It's not fun.
And so this, I was in the left seat getting some training, and this instructor pilot, mean guy, he was over in the right seat. He had failed the hydraulic system, just with levers turning it off. And he has me in a holding pattern. So there's every 2 minutes I'm making a standard rate turn, rolling out, and really working hard at doing this. And like you, I'm not the largest person in the world. And so I'm steering this thing around and really working. And it's hot. And the flight engineer at one point said, you about ready to roll in, Lieutenant? Starting a turn. And I looked back at him and I said, yeah, I am. And I started to turn, and all of a sudden the airplane seems like it has boosted controls. It just rolled right in. And he said, you ready to roll out? And I said, yeah. And all of a sudden, the airplane just kind of rolls out. And I'm like, well, this is cool. And I look back at him, and he's putting his finger up to his mouth saying, shh, don't say anything about this. Well, you need to know that on the Constellation engine nacelles, there were great big elephant ear-sized cowl flaps on both sides of the engines, of all the engines. And that would maintain the control the airflow flowing through the nacelle that maintains the cylinder head temperatures of these 18 cylinders. So what he was doing was, as I'd start to roll in to my right-hand turn, he'd take the cowl flaps on engines 3 and 4 over on the right-hand side, and he'd throw them full open. And he'd fare the ones on 1 and 2. So it's like big speed brakes out there.
Oh, geez.
So it would literally roll the airplane over to the right, and then he'd play with the 1 and 2 to kind of make it balanced. And then he'd bring them back a little bit so it is balanced and maintains the turn. And, of course, I'm holding on to it with the controls. And I'd say, ready to roll out, and he'd close up 3 and 4, open up 1 and 2, the wing comes down, boom, we're back in business.
Oh, for
crying, we did that
out
for about a half a dozen or more orbits before this guy figured it out.
That's incredible.
Great airplane.
I never thought you could do something like that with cowl flaps.
Oh, yeah.
I'd hate to see what other kind of tricks you had stuffed up your sleeves with that airplane.
Well, it was the flight engineers. When you'd have a really nice approach gone, it looks like the landing is just going to be a gimme. It's going to be so good. They open up the cowl flaps right at the 5 feet above the runway, and airplane falls out of the skies.
Oh, and then you're the one who has to take all.
Oh,
the
yeah, absolutely. It was my fault. Yeah. The earth rushed up and hit the airplane.
Exactly. So you didn't have to deal with the little old lady saying, Sonny, was that a landing, or did we get shot down?
Yeah.
So many stories I've heard about the Lockheed Constellation. Larry, we're running out of time here. If you had the opportunity to go fly a Connie again, how long would it take you to get into the airplane?
Shut this off. I'm out of here.
Okay.
About 12 seconds.
About 12 seconds. All right. Well, Larry, we appreciate you coming over and reminiscing about the Lockheed Constellation, also known as the C-121. And you're listening to Fast Eddie, and this is EAA Radio.